So what's often termed, a term that is often given to the Holy Family, is the model family. I'm not so sure that a model family would actually lose their child and then find him 3 days later. That's probably not your idea of the model family. But it might help us to understand a little bit about the culture in which Jesus was raised as a child. Now, children, when they are first born, the time is primarily spent with their mothers until they reach puberty. Boys are given extra attention and special favour. That's the way the society was. Don't try to relate it to today. So much so even that a boy child would be weaned. He'd be given more food. He would not be weaned perhaps until he was talking, whereas a girl child would be weaned very early. And then the boy would be unceremoniously removed from the women, because in the culture that Jesus was raised in, it is the women who raise the children, not the men. So it would be the aunts and the grandmothers and everybody else connected. They would be raising both the children. And then the boy's removed when he reaches that certain age. And then he's put, rather coldly, with the men. So it's not surprising that Mary and Joseph didn't realise that Jesus was gone. Many of you may have been in the position where you've said to your partner, "Oh, I thought he or she was with you. I thought he or she was with you." When, in fact, the child was with neither of you. The child was off doing their own thing, getting lost in the mall or whatever. Unlike myself, where my mother left me completely behind because my brothers refused to tell her. But I'm fine with it. It happens when you've got seven kids. But in Jesus' culture, that would have been quite normal for Mary to think that, oh, well, because he's 12 years of age, he's reached that very tender age of entering into puberty, and he now has to go with the men. And so she would have just assumed that. And Joseph would have assumed that he was still with the women, when in fact, he wasn't lost. He was, in one sense, found. He was lost to his parents, but not to himself. So Jesus was most probably just exercising what young kids do when they start to spread their wings, in a sense, and get that sense of freedom. If a child spends all its time under the wings of its mother, or so close to its father, it doesn't become an independent person. It lives in the shadow of the adults. And whilst there's goodness in that, it's not the answer for raising a responsible, self-sufficient child in this day and age, or in any day and age. But every culture has its challenges when it comes to raising children. No different in Jesus' time than what it is in ours. And you would have more stories than I to tell about raising children. So don't think of the Holy Family so much as the way that the artists paint the Holy Family. They were particularly normal mum and dad, struggling to raise a boy who was obviously very well versed in his faith. Otherwise he wouldn't have stayed in the temple. And his mum and dad, Mary and Joseph, must have done a mighty job with him in raising him in his little green catechism or whatever he had, to their great credit, so that Jesus felt completely comfortable in the environment where he was talking about things that he knew a little of. We're told that 3 days, so he was lost for a day, they had to return for a day, couldn't find him, and then it was the third day that they found him. He was revealed to them who he was, but they never understood. That's a direct link from Luke into Exodus 19, where God said to Moses, "Go and tell the people to wash all their clothes and to clean themselves and to not sacrifice anything. And I will see you in 3 days in a cloud." And then God came in the cloud and was revealed to the people of Israel. And that was the first time. So Jesus, or following Luke's using the language here, but following from that understanding, God was revealed to Mary and Joseph. if I pushed it a little bit further, of all the stories, because this part of Luke's gospel is the end of what we call the prologue. The next bit that happens in Jesus' life after he's 12 years of age is the introduction of John the Baptist as a man. And then John introduces Jesus. The only person to survive the infant narratives that we have heard and we all know so well, the only person to survive until Jesus' death is Mary. Now, I think that is really significant. We don't know anything further about Joseph. We don't know anything further about the wise men, the shepherds, anything. It is only Mary that we get glimpses of during the course of Jesus' life. And I wonder why that is. And I suspect from Luke's mind, he's trying to drive home the fact that she took these things and pondered them in her heart. She didn't have the answers, but she took these things and pondered them in her heart. And how many of you, as mothers especially, and fathers, have sat there and wondered what this child of yours is going to turn out like? This child who is causing you so much grief at the moment, or so much joy and happiness. You ponder these things about your children, and you worry, I should say we worry and we fret over our kids, because we don't see them very often going the path that I want for them. I don't think that's any different than the anxiety that Mary and Joseph felt when they found him in the temple. He wasn't out doing drugs. He wasn't vandalizing Jerusalem. He wasn't breaking into the poor box at the temple in Jerusalem. He was simply there trying to quench the thirst of his inquiring mind. And perhaps it's the same way with some of our children. We don't understand why they do some of the things they do. But at least if we love them enough, we can have enough faith that they will be well if they can experience from us a trusting love. When they betray that trust, it's a different conversation. But the presumption is, I think, they were created in love. And we love and nurture them through the course of their life, no matter which way the Uber driver will take them. And for those of us with faith, the Uber driver for us is actually God. He pulls us in directions where our parents quite often would never want us to go. It's interesting, as Father Adrian said in his little message for you in the bulletin, pray for us for future priests, especially from this parish. The families that I have asked a lot over the years, I said, how would you feel if your son became a priest? They all said, never. How would you feel if your daughter became a religious? No, not my daughter. Very interesting. So we don't know exactly where we're going to be led in the course of our life. And I can probably testify to that very well. But with a trusting love, we know that it will turn out okay. And that's not without its anxiety. You know that. You know that better than I do. Perhaps it's the anxiety that gives us the courage to be honest and open with our children, and perhaps to unlock a few of the dark spaces that will allow the light of trust and love to come back in. I think from the gospel there, sometimes the only thing that parents can do is really ponder the mystery and hope that their child will continue to grow in wisdom, maturity, and in favour amongst people and in favour with God. So my prayer for you and your families would be an adaptation of the Serenity Prayer, which I say, give our families, Lord, the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.